Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week,
with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and some guy named Tony Vaselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, we're back in the studio again this week because of technical difficulties down at Latitude 30, and nobody can quite seem to remember how we line up here.
All I know is this chair I have stinks.
Here's what I know. If Phil is listening...
Probably because you're sitting in it.
Vaselli is eating yogurt.
No, Chobani.
Is that not yogurt?
It's Greek yogurt.
It's yogurt.
He's eating yogurt. So if
it's healthy yogurt.
Even though we're not at Latitude 30, we'd sure like to eat like we're
Latitude 30. Does Latitude 30 serve Chobani?
No, they don't serve
yogurt, the magnificent.
Chobani. All right, so there's our shameless pitch for food. We're not down there this evening. We have one more scheduled at Latitude 30, and quite honestly, we're not sure if we'll be down there next week or not. Maybe.
It ain't looking good.
Maybe not. Exactly. But we're here with you via the magic of radio for the next 2 hours. Phone number 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. John Osher is here. Tony Vaselli is here. Jeff Lagerman's across the table. Joe, do you have anything to add before we get started?
I'm here.
Okay. So where do you want to begin?
Well,
there's so many different places to go. Darryl Smith practicing.
Darryl Smith practicing. MJD still not on the practice field.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he plays. I think today the report was he was riding a bike. Yeah. I mean, you're talking a running back coming back from a foot injury, and he's riding the bike, you know, going into
why
the 15th
risk it?
Game. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
I think from his standpoint, but also the team's standpoint, that, you know, you still got him under contract for one more year. And
those things don't always line
no
up.
No reason.
As far as the player interest and the team interest. But in this case, I think they're completely aligned. You're 2-12. It's been everyone knows how tough a year it is. He has a injury that can – you don't want it to become more serious because the position he plays, it can become a long-term issue. And you have one – if he's just riding the bike this week, do you bring him back the last week?
Well, we don't know what he did after that media session was open where he was riding the bike.
Well, the report was that he did not practice today.
Well,
I read
it. It listed him as not practicing. Sometimes that can mean they run on the side, they do football-type things.
Gotcha.
But from listening to Maurice and to Mike, the tone of their voice did not sound like he's going to play this week. They didn't want to say no, but it sounded very questionable. Mike said questionable. It sounded very questionable.
And you worry about his conditioning even if he were to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's, again, I don't think anybody really expects him to play.
Well, he's a running back. You know, running backs need to run to get in shape and to be ready to play.
That is great insight.
And with a foot injury, I mean, can you really simulate anything even close to what you're supposed to do on game
day?
Well,
you've had a foot injury that. I have not.
I had it 95, and I've said it before. I mean, when I had that 95, I missed four games at the end of the season, and then when we came back for the OTA, well, not even OTAs, the weight room stuff.
Yep,
which
in
was
March.
You know, middle end of March.
End of March, third week of March.
It still hurt and swelled up, and that's 3 months later.
All right, so it doesn't make sense for Maurice Jones-Drew to play, isn't practicing, all that. Now, what about Darryl Smith?
It makes sense for him.
Why?
Money. I mean, you got a guy who's in a contract year, hasn't played yet this year. I guess he had some type of procedure to make the groin heal. And he wants to get something on tape for the last 2 weeks to show anybody that may be in the market for his services, hey, look, I had an issue. It got fixed. I played the last two games.
And hopefully played well.
Bang. You know, and then hopefully, you know, put something out there to where teams say, hey, he's okay. You know, it's just, you know.
And listening and
figure it out.
And listen to Mike Mularkey, it sounds like Darryl's got a significantly better chance than Maurice of playing. And – unless something happens, I would expect to see Darryl Smith on the field on Sunday.
You wonder. I mean, the same deal with Darryl. I mean, just like you talked about with – I mentioned about Maurice. I mean, you're talking a guy who, you know, with that designated IR, he couldn't come back to practice until when?
It was 2 weeks ago he could begin working. You know, while we're not at practice, I haven't gotten the impression that he came back, obviously, full go at first.
Right.
And he's not listed on the injury report, so it's hard to know exactly what he did. But my impression was he was going to work fairly extensively today.
Yeah, so, I mean, with him, I mean, you know, what
type at least he's getting some work compared to Maurice.
What type of game shape would he be in? How much would he be able to contribute in a game? The conditioning level? You know, you don't know any of that, but clearly he has motivation and reason to play.
And Mike said today snaps were being discussed. You know, there would be some sort of
plan. It'd have to be monitored. I mean, I don't want to give people the impression that, you know, Darryl's going to play because he has motivation, because he's in a contract year, and Maurice is, you know, he's got a contract. He doesn't have motivation to play, therefore
two
he's
different
not
injuries.
Play.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about
different
two guys
positions.
That are two different stages of injury here and two completely different injuries. You know, with a foot injury for a running back, I mean, that's significant. Look, Cedric Benson. You know, they put him on the designated IR in Green Bay, and he had a foot injury. And I don't know if it's the same as Maurice or not, but I'm sure it's not that different. And he tried to come back, couldn't come back. They had to put him on injury reserve, and Cedric Benson's got all the reason in the world to play.
Sure. And one thing that's gotten kind of tiresome – I've been getting these emails all, you know, since Maurice got hurt, especially in the last couple of weeks. Is he faking it?
Come
is he
on. It? We're talking about Maurice Jones-Drew.
Which, it, if anything, whatever you said about the holdout this summer, when he's on the field, you know.
There's no fake in Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, here's a guy who's got a, if anything, has a chip on his shoulder to prove everybody wrong all the time. So for him to be faking it, whatever you thought about what happened this summer, this is a separate issue. I don't see the guy as somebody who would do that.
No.
And you guys have known a lot longer than I have, but
no way, not even a chance.
All right, the Metro PCS call-in line this evening is 355-NFL-1 or 800-355-NFL-1. At Tony Boselli, at John Osher, through Twitter if you'd like to communicate this evening. And we've got plenty to talk about, obviously, you guys.
The game. Come back, we'll talk about the game.
All right.
The game in Miami?
Talk about the game in Miami, then we got the Patriots coming up, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, they're pretty
good.
And
then the rest of the NFL. We're
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. All right, we take a break and return, Joe.
Well, thank you, BS. You getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com and get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Sign up at rewards.jaguars.com and get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com.
All right, in all honesty, are you sure you really want to go back and review that game?
Sure.
Well, I mean, isn't that why we do a radio show?
Well, not necessarily just to review the game.
No, but I mean, I think we should at least talk about it.
All right, well, here's the story.
It's what happened.
In a nutshell, in Buffalo, game is in the balance. They're in it at halftime. They give up 73 rushing yards, and the game gets out of hand. Against the Jets, same situation. They give up 83 rushing yards. Last week, 92 rushing yards. So what is it about the third quarter in this
game?
Well,
and a lot of those yards were on two plays. But, I mean, still, I mean, those two plays count as part of the overall total.
That's what we in the sports writing game call a trend.
Well, I'm glad to be able to help you with that.
And a disturbing trend, Jeff.
Good. You know, the most bothersome, well, one of the most bothersome things of that game was that Ryan Tannehill, who's a rookie quarterback who has been struggling, had what ended up being the highest passer rating day of the season on the Jaguars defense. And that's, you know, that's a game in which when you've got a rookie quarterback and he's kind of on the ropes and it's after Thanksgiving and he hasn't had the trend, as John likes to use that word, upward at that point of the season, is to make him struggle. And they just could not make Ryan Tannehill struggle. And, in fact, the defense struggled. I mean, there were a couple breakdowns to where it didn't seem like that they were assignment clean and guys were running open. And that just can't happen when you play defense. It's hard enough to be successful on defense, but it makes it harder when you're not aware of what you're supposed to do.
Well, and the hard part is you talk about, you know, affecting Ryan Tannehill and trying to make a rookie quarterback uncomfortable. And we just don't have the ability to rush the passer to make a guy uncomfortable. And so, you know, you got to imagine a guy like Ryan Tannehill coming in the game had confidence, watching the tape and knowing that for the most part, Now, Jason Babin had some nice rushes, but outside of that, for the most part,
really wasn't much. And that was against an offensive line that the Dolphins, it's different. They've got a rookie left tackle, second-round pick, who took over for the injured Jake Long.
He might be playing a little bit better, though.
Yeah, he might be. He's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah.
And then the right tackle, though, Gardner, that was
a guy.
He's a guy. Right now he's a guy. Maybe he can develop into something, but right now he's a guy.
And so if you're – the way you make a quarterback uncomfortable is you hit him. And so my guess is, like I said, going in the game, he felt pretty confident watching the tape. He does what we do. When Jeff and I watched the same All-22 tape, has seen what has been on that tape the last couple of weeks, said, hey, listen, I'm going to have a chance to sit back there and not be real nervous. I'll tell you right now, as an offense, all the years watching tape, when you turn on the tape and you saw the opposing quarterback getting hit a bunch, even as an offensive line, you're like, okay, this is going to be – it changes your mindset because and if you turn on the tape and see nobody getting there, it's like you're a little more confident. Those things matter. And then you get into the game, sits back there. Jeff talks about some blown coverages, guys running wide open. Like anyone else, the guy's talented. He gets in a rhythm, starts feeling good about himself, makes it pretty difficult.
And that's exactly what happened at the end of the second quarter.
Pretty much. And then he had a couple wrong fits in the running game. Tannehill got out
and
for
that's,
the one
and
long
happened.
Scramble.
That's happened all year.
Yeah, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
And I've heard the argument, and sometimes you hear the argument from some that want to kind of defend the defense and say, well, hey, look, we gave up one run of 53. On the other 23 runs, we only gave up 50 yards. Doesn't work. Because that 53-yarder impacted the game. Barry Sanders was like that. Barry Sanders would have no gain, minus gain, all of a sudden rip off a 25-yarder, a 50-yarder, and guess what? At the end of the year, he's a Hall of Fame player. And then offensively, the offensive line continues to be an issue. Cameron Wake is a great player. Don't get me wrong, but Cameron Bradfield had a poor day against him. I thought
Cameron Wake's not that good.
No, I thought the offensive line overall did not play very well, and that's disappointing. The Miami Dolphins defense was a solid defense, but, when you look at them, there's one guy that you say we worry about. The rest of them, no. And the rest of them were able to have an impact.
Randy Stark's a pretty good player, though, too, Jeff.
Yeah, but he's getting old, Tony. He's kind of short. I know he's still a pretty good player. But
I get what you're saying.
But he's not Melton like the guy in Chicago or the guy in Houston, J.J. Watt, that New England seemed to handle.
I watched him this week. Colts didn't.
Huh?
We'll talk about that later.
So you'll agree he's a pretty good player.
I might have to – eat some crow. I might have to eat some crow in the second half of the show.
All right,
that's disappointing. Offensive line. That's something. And Tony, this. That's something that you expect to see get better as the season progresses and the lineup stays the same.
And it
has
it's gone the opposite.
And it has, for the most part, stayed the same.
Right, but it's gone the opposite.
I'm talking once you reach a certain point of the season. I'm talking consistency in the lineup.
Yes, agree with that. Well, and here's the thing, Jeff. I was actually talking to somebody about that, and they were saying, how the offensive line hasn't played as well. It's kind of digressing a little bit.
John calls that a trend.
A trend.
It's trending downward.
A negative trend in this case.
And he said, and they were trying to justify it, saying, well, oh, guys get tired, get beat up. And I disagree because I agree with Jeff. As an offensive line and as an offensive lineman, I felt better as the year went on, even if I was nicked because of the technique and you're bending your knees better, you're in game shape. I always felt that technique-wise and you're working together, the cohesion, I felt like got better, unless there was major injuries.
Teams' offensive lines get better as the season goes on.
Unless there's injuries. Major injuries.
But you're supposed to be able to overcome one injury.
I agree.
I remember talking to you guys when you were playing, and it was always – you got to be able to overcome one.
You got to overcome it. Yeah, it happened all the time.
And they've had basically one position that's had issues. And, the guy that ended up replacing Mike Brewster.
Pazder.
And Eben Britton. And who am I missing there?
Herb Taylor.
Will Rackley, Herb Taylor. The list goes on.
The one guy you liked that they cut. What was the guy in preseason you liked?
Josh Beekman.
But I thought the rookie, Austin Pazder, did a pretty decent job.
He wasn't.
He was not a liability.
He wasn't any worse.
No. All season it's been this guy did a pretty decent job, this guy. But as a unit,
no.
It just, you know, Chad, I think, has done a pretty good job at times throwing under a lot of pressure. And, you know, at times he has, and it's been up and down. But, you know, when he has to throw under pressure all the time, at some point you got to give the guy time to throw.
Yeah,
it just hasn't happened.
I give Chad credit. I mean, I give him credit. I mean, holy cow. And it was the same thing with Blaine. That's why, uh-huh. You know, we were backing off of Blaine and the critique of Blaine because, you know, the production up front wasn't real good. You turn around and you look at what Mark Sanchez had on Monday night, and that group up front plays pretty doggone good.
Although he was getting tattooed too.
A little bit. But, I mean, for the most part this year, he's had time, and how bad he's been. I mean, that's not what we're dealing with here.
So in the 3 or 4 minutes we have left, real quick, what do they have going forward on the offensive line? I mean, Eugene Monroe, obviously.
Yeah, but he's got to get better. I mean, there was one play that I'm going to show on Film Room Friday.
Joe. Film Room Friday.
Thank you.
God, give that one, too.
Man, Linda's quicker than him.
Let him get back into his rhythm.
He's
now,
trending right? The wrong way as well.
this takes some
bad
time.
Trend.
And Tony, you'll know this as an offensive lineman. You can't throw a defensive lineman down into the ground, into the pocket. Dave Wydell learned that the hard way back in the day.
It's called a snatch. If you're going to snatch him, you got to snatch him early, and he has to stop where he's going. You can't snatch him and allow him to bear crawl underneath
you. But you can't open your shoulder
and throw him.
No.
You can't open. You shouldn't open your shoulder ever.
And Eugene did that on one play, and I'll show it on Film Room Friday. I mean, that is a never, 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 never can happen play.
He started the season looking like an all-pro against Jared Allen, and now he's having basic, it sounds technique issues.
And I think part of it with him, too, is that he's had 5, 6 different guys next to him. That doesn't help.
Right.
But still, but I mean, even alone, where he's had, you know, by himself, not good enough.
You disagree?
I don't think it matters who your left guard is as far as one-on-one pass blocking. Now, run schemes and communication and being on the same play and maybe switching off twists. But what Jeff's describing is one-on-one pass blocking. You can put Osher next to me. That's not going to matter.
I'm pretty scrappy.
But my point is that does not matter for the left tackle.
If you had John Osher lined up to your inside and you're the left tackle, you'd have to defend a lot of inside rushes because everybody would be going, let me add him.
You might need to chip a little.
Jeff, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, now, the cohesion of having a good left guard, listen, when Ben Coleman and I could play a number of years together, there was the communication was better. We could just say one word. And that was more important on the blitz pickup, you know, run fits and combo blocks and twist game. For the majority of the passing game, I didn't care what Ben was doing. I was blocking the outside defensive end, and it was a one-on-one matchup.
And Cameron Bradfield had a tough game. I mean, against a good player. But, I mean, I don't know why he really hasn't had the upward trend, but it hasn't happened. And
bad habits.
Been disappointing.
Bad habits.
You saw – when they moved him into the lineup, you saw something in him that made you say, this guy can play the position.
Tony and I agree. I mean, it's just like, you know, quarterback. I mean, there's certain things about the quarterback position you just can't coach.
Yeah.
It's arm strength, accuracy, being smart. With an offensive lineman, the first and foremost thing is feet. You got to have feet. And Cameron Bradfield has good feet. I mean, he has good enough feet to play left tackle. Much less right tackle where he's at. But his technique, and I'll stop talking right there because that's in Tony's department, his technique. Put it this way, as a defensive lineman, watching some of his sets.
You would have been licking your chops.
I'd be going, oh, yeah, I feel real good about this week because I'm looking at his sets.
All right. We've hit the bottom of the hour, which means it's time for news from our friends over at News Talk 690 WOKV. Joe, send us to break.
All right, Brian. Trying to decide what to do this New Year's Eve? Well, celebrate at Latitude 30 and be entertained by dueling pianos that rock, featuring musicians of Howl at the Moon. It's part concert, part sing-along, and it's all fun. $30 per ticket, and VIP packages are available. Just call 904-345-4255. 2455 and reserve your tickets. By the way, season ticket owners, don't forget to use your Teal Deals by signing up at TealDeals.com and downloading over $5,000 worth of gift certificates, and you can use them at merchants all over Jacksonville. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league and earn points every time you post something Jaguars. You can also use your points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets for the Jaguars game in London. Brian.
All right, so let's stay with the offensive line.
Well, before we go there, let's change. You want to stay with the offensive line?
Yeah, I do, because I don't think we finished the topic.
Go ahead then.
Well, but if you've got something that you want to interject, go.
I was going to lighten the mood a little bit, but go ahead.
I guess we're going deeper. Was Shelly lighten the meal or lighten the mood? Are you kidding me?
We're going deeper. I just look.
I can't wait to see this.
We've been talking about the offensive line.
Tell a little story about the weekend, a little father-son story.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We'll lighten the mood then.
No,
we'll do that. And then we'll get dark.
No, we'll go back. We'll do that later.
All right. So let's go back to the offensive line, because we've talked about it all season long and the problem it's been for the quarterback hitting their back step, not being able to have any time.
What is it? What's the sack numbers at now?
They have given
43, 44.
42.
What was Blaine? Blaine's been sacked.
18. No, 22.
No, 22 times. It's 22 and 20, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's a horrendous number.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad number. I mean, you know,
it's not. But it's not to me. It's just not the sacks.
You know, and I don't know if that's really indicative of where it's at. I think it's worse than the sack.
Well, yeah, because sacks are deceiving.
Yeah,
I mean, it's how many times you've been hit.
Well, and Cam Wake said it last week. He said, you know, one of the things we don't get credit for is when we get held. How many holding penalties, and how many should count as sacks?
So now,
because he's got eight or nine.
What, three holding penalties.
Two on Bradfield.
Two on Bradfield, and then Pazdor had the one.
Yeah.
I don't think
Not only that, how about giving guys credit that hit the quarterback as they're throwing the ball?
Well, and the pressure against the Jets that ended it.
I mean, Cameron Wake had the most hits of quarterbacks or pressures than anyone in the NFL. I mean, that matters.
Yeah.
And so you have to add all that up. And I go also to the fact of the run game. Now, I know we have no Maurice Jones-Drew, but there's a lot of teams in this league that have their second, third back and still run the ball.
You're supposed to be able to run the ball. Even if you lose your starting running back. The starting running back, you know, is a huge factor in a blitz pickup. It's a huge factor in passing game. You're supposed to still be able to run. Most teams lose that starting back. The story the following week is, oh, look how well they ran. Most guys in this league can run the ball.
Maybe you don't run it for 150 like you do with Maurice, but
no,
run
but
it for 120.
In the last two games, they've actually run the ball fairly well.
Just not fairly often.
Well, the game situations kind of dictated what you had to do because you had to end up playing catch up. But I mean, I give Montel Owens credit. I mean, Montel Owens, after watching him the last 2 weeks, Montel Owens is the second best running back on the roster.
No, there's no doubt about
it. Easily.
Well, he's averaging 5.6 per carry. 5.
Easily.
2, pardon me, 5.2.
And he's done a great job in blitz pickup. You know, I give him a lot of credit. Because, you know, he's done a great job.
But the line has not blocked as well as it did last year.
No, and some of the stuff that happened earlier on with Blaine Gabbert, I mean, some of that's on the wide receivers and that they were still trying to figure out what they were supposed to do. Some of it was on the quarterback. You know, some of it was on the backs at one point. You know, but right now you can't put it on Montel Owens. I mean, Montel Owens is doing a very good job in protection for the most part. He missed one against the Jets. But, I mean, for the most part, he's been doing a good job.
We're a couple of weeks away from the end of the season. Then the free agency and draft stuff is going to start. And I don't want to dive into it other than to say that where the Jaguars are going to draft near the top of every round, there are lots of offensive and defensive linemen. So if you're looking objectively at this team right now, which line do you need to rebuild first?
Now, I'm going to go back to what I've always said.
I got a different whole approach.
My approach is that I'm going to try to fill as many holes as I can because I've got a lot of them, and I'm trying to get more picks.
So you're not looking and saying, well, this line's got to get it before that does because we've got to protect the quarterback.
No, I'm saying they both do. You know, I mean,
results. The numbers say they both do. Looking at what's more of an urgent priority.
You know, I'm looking to trade back.
Forget whether I don't know if we're going to be able to trade back, and we'll talk about that coming up because
in the offseason.
I mean. You don't know if there's going to be that guy who's coveted by other teams that want to trade. But right now, if we stay right where we are, we trade back, I'm going to pick as many dang good players as I possibly can that want to come and just kick the
We just said it.
Out of people.
The Jaguars have 16 sacks. They've given up an average of 100.
Yeah, but Brian, you can't – I do not think we're –
No, 15 sacks, sorry. And they've given up 148 yards per game on the ground. The defensive line needs work.
How about this? I mean, just look at the number that a lot of people look at, and it's sack differential.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But, guys,
you're minus 27.
And I know we'll talk about this a lot in the offseason, but let's back up a second. We are a 2-12 team. Both lines need to play better. There's no doubt about that. But you could say we have depth issues at linebacker. You can look at the running back situation. You can look at the secondary situation. I mean, there is plenty of finger-pointing to go around.
Well, it's not finger-pointing. It's identifying an
that's
area.
That's what I mean by finger-pointing. I mean,
you can identify by
– Yeah, I'm saying we can point
True
there.
Enough, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. We can point there. We can point there. And we need to go find as many good players wherever they play – and load them up. And I'll go
you
back.
You could use a lot of speed and a lot of depth on defense. I know that doesn't, you know, that's kind of stating the obvious, but they got to get faster. They got to get nastier up front on defense.
And if it's
the first priority.
Some playmakers. I don't care what position it is.
Exactly. And I don't think maybe it's an offensive lineman. And Jeff and I have talked about this before. I'll go back to 1996. The Baltimore Ravens have the second pick overall. They have a Pro Bowl.
Tony
left
Jones.
Tackle and Tony Jones, who was a heck of a player.
Good player.
They did not need a left tackle. They didn't need a right tackle. Zeus was a good right tackle. They picked Jonathan Ogden with the second pick.
Played him a guard for a year.
I think everyone would look back. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Would look back and say, that was a pretty good pick.
And that's why I'm saying, you know, when you look, and we always talk about it, it all depends on the lines. And neither of the lines
but my point is
playing very well, but which one is more important as you look?
I'd say this is an easy year to draft best available player because you need him everywhere.
My point is if Marquise Lee was a junior from the USC, the best receiver in college football last year, and he was sitting there and you evaluate him and he's going to be the next Calvin Johnson, which he looks like right now.
Who doesn't need Calvin Johnson?
What he looks like right now, and you just drafted Justin Blackmon last year and you have Cecil Shorts, I'd still go take Calvin Johnson, or if it's Marquise Lee.
Agree.
I mean, you need playmakers. You need guys, and whether they're playmakers playing left tackle or center or defensive tackle or defensive end or corner or safety or linebacker, you just when you are a 2-12 ball club, you just need more guys.
Before we take a break, let me give you the number that stood out the most to me as I was sitting here working today. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Scobie, 15 of 16 on PATs.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Goskowski, 60 of 60.
Wow.
60 of 60. Joe?
A little different.
Yeah, a little
That's a
different.
Big differential,
it's
too.
I was zero for zero, if you're asking.
Good.
All right, good. Get Thanks. Us out of here.
All right, here's your chance to see the Jaguars take on the Patriots, gang, this Sunday for just $20. Get yourself a coin toss ticket. A limited number of coin toss tickets will be available right here at Everbank Field Saturday between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. That's right here at Everbank. On Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you need more information, just call 904-633-2000. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Brian Sexton, voice of the Jaguars.
Okay, Joe, here we go. Do you want to tell your story now, or
no,
should we wait
quick.
To the top of the hour? Okay.
No, I was just going to say, we were talking, and I was telling Jeff in the during the break, do a different game every week, sometimes two. Was in Houston doing the Texan Indy game, and by the way, I'm not going to say he's the greatest ever, but J.J. Watt
is really good.
Really, really good.
Can you use the term great?
Yeah, he's great.
Okay, thank you.
He's great. I mean, you talk about a guy who...
Why'd it take you so long?
Hard-headed, that's all.
You talk about just taking over a game.
Yeah.
And the Colts had a chance to win that game. And he was dominant. But anyways, so I was in Houston, did that game. Great football game. Then I saw not-so-great a football game in Tennessee, the Jets, Titans, Monday night game. But I brought my son along.
Wanted to meet Tebow?
No, I brought him for both games. He was up in the booth with me on Sunday. You talk about a fun father-son thing. Then he produced for me on the sideline,
nice.
Carrying all the gear around, walking around. And you forget, because we do it all the time, being on the field, watching the game like that, but seeing a you know, him watching it and getting excited was a pretty fun deal.
Cool. You going to take your other son?
He has to be a little bit older. Okay. He's only 13. He's got a couple years.
Yeah, you got to have him be a little bit older to where, you know, you're not always trying to find him. You know that, Brian.
Yeah, no, I know. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Steve joins us next from Arlington. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Hey, guys. Yeah, hey, question for you. Now that the Jets have announced that Tebow's going to be passed over for over Sanchez, and so he's going down the depth charts, do you think there's a chance that they'll want to trade, and can the Jaguars get in that mix?
I don't think they're going to trade him. My guess is they're probably going to release him.
You might be able to trade a six-pack for him. I mean, honestly, Steve, I mean, the guy has played this year for the Jets. The Jets' offense has been ineffective. Coaches aren't dumb. I mean, if he could change things for the Jets where he could run the offense at a more effective level, don't you think they would have seen that in New York? I mean, really.
Did you see anything?
I'm asking Steve.
I don't think they gave him a chance.
You know, and see, that's always going to be the return statement when it comes to Tim. I mean, they gave him a couple series. They see him every day in practice. I mean, isn't that giving him a chance when he's running as the number two quarterback all through training camp? I have a hard time kind of, you know, because I like the guy. I like everything he stands for. You know, I think it's great.
I think anything he would do would be an improvement, for sure.
But here's the deal. Number one, he's going to be most likely going to be a free agent. All reports are he's going to be cut by the Jets. I mean, that's a speculation. And I think if he's cut and he's free, I think
you look at
you, it. You evaluate him.
But you're not going to trade nothing Tim Tebow.
No, there's not going to be a trade for him. I don't think anyone's going to trade for him. But you look at him and you evaluate him. And if he can help your ball club, then you bring him in.
The question, though, becomes what are you bringing him in for? Are you bringing him in to be the guy? Do you think he can start?
He couldn't beat out Mark Sanchez.
No, I'm saying, but if some team is
they
going to bring
him in.
They went
with a rookie.
If some team is going
McElroy's
to bring him
second
in.
Second-year player.
But he's a rookie.
You either have to bring him in as the guy. Because it's very difficult for him to be a backup in a conventional system. So I think that's the question. I mean, this is going to be a topic we're going to discuss until he signs somewhere.
Well, if you bring him in and you're going to say he's going to be your quarterback, then you design the system
right
around much like what Washington has done with RG3 this year.
I'm not
comparing him to RG3, Jeff. He doesn't have the speed
or the accuracy.
No, but what the Redskins made a conscious effort to do.
Well, the Panthers did it last year with Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. At least in the short run, the Redskins are doing that. But if you're going to bring in Tim Tebow as your quarterback and you make that decision, part of that decision process is we are going to tailor the offense for his strengths.
And that's what you wonder. Is some team – because there's more to this than just one player. Is some team going to bring him in, be it, you know, whoever that team is, and say, this is the direction we're changing our direction for this guy? Or is it better for him in the long run to go to a place like Washington – be a backup and say, okay, I'm going to learn here and play and potentially play in a system where it makes sense for me to play. I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's going to be hard.
Well, I don't think you can bring – I don't think it's best for the organization. I'm not talking about the Jaguars. Any team is going to bring him in and just keep the typical pro-style offense that is currently being run at whatever team –
So you're making a philosophical choice.
So you're saying that we feel like, in evaluating the situation and where we are as a team, the makeup of the team, our defense, our offensive line, our receivers, our running back, our system, we are going to bring Tim in and we are going to tailor the system to fit his strengths because he definitely has strengths.
Mm-hmm.
He has things that he can
do.
What
is that?
What are what?
His strengths.
I think he's a – he's a guy who running the spread is effective running the ball.
He's averaged less than 3 yards a carry
this year.
With three Pro Bowlers on the offensive line.
No, but I'll disagree with you there, Jeff, because you look at what he did last year in Denver and the way that he ran the ball, and you look at his numbers running the ball last year, he was effective. The Jets never – I don't think – in hindsight, I don't think Rex Ryan or Sperano, it was their idea. I think it was Woody Johnson who
said – He wanted the bang.
As much as you say about Tebow, by the way – it's not fair to judge him on what happened in New York.
I don't think
you're going to judge me. You have to look at Denver.
Yeah, you look at Denver, and there he was effective for 1 year in a short time of running that style.
There were times last year, though, he was very ineffective at times, too, and that's always the argument. He was as ineffective
against
in games as he was effective.
I agree.
Well, even in the same game. But it's a philosophical choice that a franchise has to make, and you wonder what team is going to make the choice to say, this is what I'm building around. Some team may.
And I'm not saying that I'd look at just Denver and say, boy, that was a resounding success and everything went well. But if you're going to do it, and I'm not saying that's what I would do or that's the right decision. I'm just saying if you make that, then you have to tailor your offense to what
you All right, let me ask you this. If you're the general manager here, would you do it?
Would I, at this point, with our team, the way our team's made up, I don't think I'd make a complete philosophical change and tailor the offense just around
one
individual.
It's a simple yes or no.
I just said I would not tailor the entire offense around one individual.
All right, no.
Here's the issue. Wasn't his
Would I look at bringing him in if I could have a conversation with him?
No, I'm not.
Let me finish. If there was a conversation
That's the problem with Tim. It's not a yes or no question because
there's
so many different
facets. If there was a conversation where I could have with Tim Tebow and say, we're going to bring you in, but this is the role you're going to play. You're going to be our second or third quarterback, but we are going to have a scheme put in, whether it's an H-back, a Wildcat, whatever.
That's what the Jets did.
No, they did not. They did not, Jeff.
Look,
they never did.
The reason this topic
they may have
is
said it,
up,
but they didn't do it.
They never did it.
They ran that offense,
Jeff,
when he was in there.
He averages less than four plays a game. They don't tell me they bring a – they committed to running a
system. They didn't commit to run it, no.
I'm not a Tebowite, but it's very difficult to say that they gave it.
Do I think Tim Tebow –
he did not have a chance there this year.
See, I don't
think – I'm not sure how good or bad he is, but
he didn't have a chance there. I don't think Tim Tebow is the issue. I think the Tim Tebow fans and the people who clamor for him and the circus environment that is created around him that he has nothing to do with, that's the issue. I think if you had a conversation with Tim Tebow and say, this is what we have for you and this is what we're going to commit to you, but we need to know that you understand your role and are committed to playing that role.
Well, that's sort of – I think that was sort of the conversation
but
that
the
went
Jets,
down last spring.
But
well,
the Jets
with this team as well.
Oh, with this team. But he didn't want to do it that
right.
with this team. And if that wasn't a possibility, then I'm not sure right now where we are as a franchise, it would be best to scrap everything as far as the entire – and
question.
Change the entire offense.
He had two teams after him. The Jaguars and the Jets after Tebow Mania. Now that everyone's had a chance to see him in New York in a very limited time frame, how many teams are going to throw their hat into the mix?
Well, if he is a free agent,
to me
it
seems like
if
there aren't that many.
Oh, I disagree. I think there will be teams if he is out there with no draft. They do not have to compensate no draft picks or anything. I do think there'll be teams interested.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, we are. Let's be clear though. He's not RG3. And I'm hearing that from the lady at the checkout counter.
I never said.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying it publicly over these airwaves.
RG3 runs a 4.340.
And has a laser pinpoint accuracy that Tim doesn't have. And I don't know if he's Russell Wilson either. I'm hearing that a lot, too. People are going, he's the
Tim's
same thing as Russell Wilson.
Tim's a 47.9% passer.
And Russell Wilson's almost 63, just under 63.
Yeah. So it's not the same. But what you're getting from the Tebowites is – well, look at these two programs that went and built their entire system around theirs and what they're getting. The RG3 thing just blows me away because
RG3
is world-class speed.
What RG3, why he is so effective, because he puts pressure on the defense on the perimeter with his running ability. Tim does not put the pressure on the perimeter because he doesn't have the speed of RG3. It's a completely different thing. He's a power runner. Russell Wilson, if you watch him, he's not a runner of the football.
We're talking about a quarterback, and you're saying he's a power runner.
No, I'm comparing him to the style of runner that RG3 is.
Jeff,
that's like saying RG3 is a runner as well, and we're talking about him as a quarterback. He's a guy who's a dynamic running back from the quarterback position.
See, the power runner, dynamic. They're the same.
Let's take a break. News is next.
All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Hour two of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on here on Jaguars Radio. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue is the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Get ready for the playoffs and your favorite bowl games with Sonny's Game Day Wings. 40 mouth-watering wings, just $19.99. Steakout only. Sonny is the first name in barbecue. Hour 2 of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna rolls on. Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli, John Osher, some video guy who will remain nameless, and Brian Sexton.
Oh, look. The Metro PCS call-in lines are open, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Honestly, the lowest hanging fruit in Jacksonville radio is just to start a conversation about Tim Tebow.
And let's be clear. I mean, I think Jeff and I are basically saying the same thing, that he's not RG3. He is not a guy that you're just going to plug in to play quarterback for your franchise. Where we differ is there a role? Take the distraction of the Tebowites and all the crazy circus that comes along. Is there a role? I'm not talking about quarterback.
And that's a
now.
Factor too now.
I'm just saying, take that aside for a second. Is there a role? I'm not talking about a quarterback now. Is there a role on a football team? I'm not even saying here, where he is a value and can bring value to your football team as an offensive player. And I think there is. I think he's a great athlete. He's a fabulous athlete who loves the game of football.
Kansas City.
What do you mean Kansas City?
He could play there.
I'm not forget the team. I'm just saying whether it's a.
What was that?
I have no idea. Whether it's as an H-back or some other, you know, short yardage red zone player, is there a value?
What he needs to do is go to the CFL and prove it. I mean, because
he wouldn't be the first.
I mean, that's
Joe Theismann did it.
Joe Theismann, Warren Moon did it.
Doug Flutie
did it.
Kansas City.
That needs to be what he needs to do.
Hey,
and you know what? If you want to play quarterback, you're exactly right, Jeff.
That's it.
Let's grab a couple of phone calls here. 355-NFL-1. Gary's on the north side. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just had a question about – I realize we're at the end of our season, and it's not good. But what does the team need to do at this point to be ready for next year? I don't know where we would fall. I think people would be, overzealous if they thought we were going to make the playoffs the very next year. But we definitely want to see some improvement. So, and I can take the answer off the air on what they need to do at this point in time. So we as fans would know what to expect.
Well, Miami went 1-15 and went 11-5 the next year to the playoffs.
You need better quarterback play, better protection, and faster defense. Would be a good start.
Well, number one, you need to find a franchise quarterback, whether it's one you got or whether it's somewhere else. Look at the stats from the New England Patriots.
It hurts my head.
10 consecutive seasons of 10-plus wins. You know, you've got a coach-quarterback combo that is the winningest in the Super Bowl era. 3 Super Bowl wins, 4 Super Bowl appearances. Five Super Bowl appearances. I mean, that there's no secret to winning in the NFL. You find a quarterback who's going to be a franchise guy. And like I said, whether that's, you know, development from the two you got or whether that's finding one next year, that is priority number one.
How about the fact that they scored 108 points in back-to-back games?
Amazing.
Against the Colts and the Jets.
Amazing.
So did the Seahawks.
You know, they're
they? Yeah, they did.
108.
58 and 50.
It's amazing.
I mean, you can talk about everything else. But, I mean, that's number one in bold, and everything else is just second thought.
I don't know
if
you saw
quarterback makes a lot. It makes everything look a lot better too.
They've scored more than 500 points for the third straight season, and they're the only team in the history of the league to do it 4 times. But if the Patriots were shut out in their final 2 games, shut out now, they would still average over 30 points a game.
They're not going to get shut out.
No, they're not.
I mean, that's
worth pointing out, though.
I don't think they are.
It's what it's all about.
Ye of little faith.
Hold on. Who do they play? They've got. They're here, and then they have Miami at home. They're not going to get shut out. 355-NFL-1. John is in Keystone Heights. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's kind of strange you talk about Brady. when he was up for draft and we were, it was our time up, I was sitting in the living room screaming, "Get him, get him, get him." We didn't.
Yeah, sure, John.
John, it was in the sixth
round. No, the thing about Brewster, you know, being an undrafted free agent, you know, on hindsight, do you think he should have been drafted?
Yeah, he should have been drafted the way he's played this year, absolutely.
And Tom Brady should have been a first-rounder.
Should have been the first overall pick in the draft. I talked to Gene Smith at length about that, and he shares it in his pregame conversation. He said that he had a terrible, not average, not bad, a terrible combine. Terrible. Did a little bit better in the on-campus workouts at Michigan afterwards.
Well, look, hey, nobody thought he was going to be what he is right now. Otherwise, he wouldn't have lasted until the sixth round.
John did.
Keystone Heights knew.
But look at the draft class of quarterbacks that year.
You know, Spurgeon Wynn.
Spurgeon Wynn.
Jaguars played against Spurgeon Wynn once. He was a Cleveland Browns draft choice at number 183, and Tom Brady was 199.
It's in your other one there, your other release. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, you talk about, you know, first of all, the quarterback crop in that year was just terrible. But then you look at all the teams, you know, every team in the league had an opportunity to draft the guy. I mean,
Five times.
Six,
because he was a compensatory pick.
But, I mean, to see the list, you just go, holy cow.
I'm trying to find it here. But I just saw that Spurgeon Wynn was drafted ahead of him. That was all I needed to see.
Yeah, there's quite a few other names on there besides. Here, I'll find it. I know right where it is.
All right, go get it.
Yeah, but you can play that game every draft.
No, I know, but I mean still.
All right, Sean is in Julington Creek. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Listen, the reason I was calling was, let me turn the radio off. Sorry. Regarding the Tim Tebow thing, you know, a lot of us lose sight of the fact that the NFL is a business. And one of the worst business decisions that the Jaguars made was not drafting him when the iron was hot. If you think about the fans that the Jaguars will bring to the stand just for having him here, regardless of what role he plays or anything like that.
Hey, Sean, let me cut you off real quick. I know where you're going.
Come on, Sean.
Did you?
It's about winning, Sean.
So you're saying they should have drafted him 10th overall?
No,
because that's what you would have had to do.
Let me ask you a question, because you said they should have drafted him. So I'm asking you, were they supposed to draft him 10th overall?
Absolutely, from a business
standpoint. Okay, thank you, Sean.
You can't say that the Jaguars are not a business.
No, they're absolutely a business.
The Jaguars is not a business?
Football is the business of winning.
Guess what the business is? It's winning games.
Okay, are you saying the Cleveland Browns are the best team that's ever played? How many seasons have the Cleveland Browns had?
What does that have to do with this conversation?
We never said they're the best team ever.
Kansas City.
No, but what you're saying is that the NFL is in the business of winning. Actually, they're in the business of getting people in the seats.
Well, you're right about that.
That's called winning. How do you get people in the seats? You win.
But let me ask you a question.
That's my argument. You can't say that when it comes to the Cleveland Browns or the Kansas City Chiefs, or, you know, for how many years have the Chargers not been a good team? You know, the Raiders. I mean,
Chargers don't draw either.
What are you talking about? Yeah, what's your point, Sean?
My point is, had they struck when the iron was hot, got Tebow here, gave him 3 or 4 years, they would have had a lot more people in the stands, and maybe.
What do you base that on?
The team would have made some money.
I think they do make money.
Well, do you not think that they can make more money had they brought him here?
I think you know how you make more money.
Sean,
is you win.
Sean,
you win games.
That iron was never hot.
I think you're being a little naive when you think
I'm being
that's
naive.
The way you can make money to win.
Sean, let me ask you a question. Hold on. Let me jump in.
How many years did the Dallas Cowboys win after their last Super Bowl win?
Sean.
They still sold out the stadium.
Here's a question for you.
Here's a good question. You know, Dallas Cowboys back in 1989. Let's say Tim Tebow came out in 1989. And they're not a good football team. I mean, a bad football team. Would have been the right business decision for the Cowboys to draft Tim Tebow or Troy Aikman?
Well, you have the luxury of hindsight.
Well, that's
you don't know what Troy Aikman's performance will.
And you don't know how many tickets would have been sold. You're assuming that there would have been a rush of tickets. You have no proof. You have no proof. You have no basis
and
to
and
say
you're
that.
Using that
except
you're,
for your feelings
you know
and your love.
You know what I'll do? No. I'm not a Tebow fan. That's the difference. I'm not one of those people that stand up and wave the flag and say Tim Tebow is the answer to everything. All I'm trying to say is the Jaguars are actually likely to lose their franchise because we don't have enough people.
Whoa! Now, Sean, you're just saying stupid things. Now you just sound stupid. Because the lose the franchise, like, who's it's going to be taken away? Like, in the night, someone's going to take it away?
Sunday.
What? Excuse me?
How many seats do they cover up every Sunday because they first can't sell enough tickets?
That's another mistake of yours. The reason, even with the seats covered, it's still 68,000 seats, which is larger than a great number of stadiums, larger than Pittsburgh, larger than Chicago, larger than several other. In fact, if they're going to start stealing franchises in the middle of the night because of attendance, you better start down in Tampa that averages 47 a game or down in Miami that's 50 a game when there's 62 here.
How about
San
Diego?
Get your facts right before you say dumb things.
Kansas City.
Well, first off, you can't argue that the Jacksonville Jaguars have a weak market, right? Can you argue that?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about how
it's a smaller market, but a very strong fan base.
What you're telling me is the reason that we don't sell out the stands is why? Because we're not winning?
Yes.
That usually helps.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
So over the last, 10, 12 years, we haven't won. So why do people come to the stands? Why do people come to the
stands? Because they're terrific
fans. Because we have one of the best fan bases, in my opinion, in the NFL. For the market size we have and what the product as far as winning and losing that has been out there the last couple number of years, our fan base is very strong. There's been no blackouts. The average ticket as far as number of tickets sold is greater than we're not the last team as far as attendance. And so your argument doesn't make any sense, Sean.
If the Jaguars had drafted Tebow and he had won, yes, they would have filled the stands. If they had drafted him and they had lost, they wouldn't have filled the stands. And that's the same with any player. Would there have been a short-term bump with Tebow? A small short-term bump, perhaps. But you've got to win consistently, and that's why they've made the picks that they did.
You know what I tell people? And look, Sean, pull him up real quick, in case he wants to jump in on this. You would agree that last year Tebow Mania was one of the stories of the year in Denver, right?
Right, I got it.
Okay, right. So, wins a playoff game. Has the whole thing, jerseys, soccer mom stopping me at Publix saying, hey, what time is that game Sunday? Oh, the Jags play at 1. No, what time does Tim play? Right? I endured it last year. Tebow Mania. How come, if it's so popular, how come if it's so profitable, John Elway couldn't wait to throw him overboard for next to nothing for a 36-year-old quarterback with 4 neck surgeries that would cost $100 million, and yes, he's playing like an all-pro again. But you didn't know. I mean, they took a chance on Peyton Manning coming back
And why not keep him as a backup?
Exactly. They threw Tebow Mania over the side.
I can agree with what you're saying. I have no problem with that. What I'm saying is some people, they have a universal draw. Okay, it's outside of whatever sport they participate
in, whether
they're actors and all that other stuff. His draw was based in this area because of his success at the University of Florida. Now, had that carried over to the Jaguars, and yeah, you say, okay, maybe they got a year or two of a bounce. That's better than what they had.
You know, but they're thinking.
Sean, what you're saying is not correct in the sense that they're going to lose the franchise and saying ridiculous things that they don't make money. Yeah, that's what you said.
I'm not saying they're losing the franchise because he's not here. I'm saying they're losing the franchise because they can't fill the stands.
And that's not true,
and that
Sean.
That isn't true. It's not even
Sean,
close.
Sean, where do you come up with this stuff? Do you make it up before you say
Where do you get it? Okay. What do you mean where do I come up with
Where
this
do you
stuff?
Come up
why
with
did
it?
Where? Why did Winn-Dixie buy all those seats so that the games weren't blacked out from all the local television audience?
11 years ago.
That was like 11 years ago.
Before they downsized the stadium.
I think Tim was a freshman in seventh grade. The reason the big stadium is because of the Gator Bowl and the Florida Georgia game. Mainly the Florida Georgia game and then the Super Bowl and all those things. And it's too big of a stadium. So they, right now, and hopefully it changes one day. I think if you put a consistent winner in this market, I think it'll be huge crowds, and in the size of the stadium won't matter as much.
Let's end on this because we've got to go to a break. Sean, look, there are franchises like the Steelers and the Patriots that only make football decisions. They don't ever consider whether a player is going to sell tickets, put seats. You know, they don't ever consider that. They just say, is he a good player? And those franchises, the Eagles, the Patriots, you know, the Steelers, the Redskins, you know, these are consistent winners over the
course. Don't put the Redskins in there.
All right, Packers.
There you
we'll
go.
Take the Packers instead. The Jaguars made a decision in 2010 for the big picture. They said, yeah, we could go for a couple of years and try and build this thing around Tebow, and then by the time everybody realizes that he's not the franchise quarterback that this game requires, well, then we've set ourselves back. And it was the point that Jeff was arguing in the last hour, don't waste your time. We don't know whether Blaine Gabbert is that long-term answer or not, but the Jaguars made a business decision to win with a quarterback over more than 2 or 3 years, not a short bump. They went for the big picture, and that's how you win in the NFL. We got a break. Back after this.
All right, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, stop by Southside Kia and Kia of Orange Park, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, and your home for no credit check Wednesday.
All right, well, hey, one more, and then let's get done with this, with the Tebow topic. But because of the story out of New York today where he said, well, we'll see how it all rolls out in the offseason, because he was passed over for the starting job, you know, the topic is going to be, does he come to Jacksonville? And we will talk about it ad nauseum, I'm sure. Though James is in Kentucky, he's a loyal caller, and he has commentary in rebuttal to our previous caller, Sean. James, you got the floor for about 3 minutes, pal.
Thanks, man. I'll make it as short as possible. But to respond to that, yeah, it is a business. It's a business about winning, as you guys said, but it's ridiculous to draft him that high. I mean, obviously, if Jacksonville thought they could win with him, they would have took him. But then passing on him, and a lot of teams passing on him, that kind of just shows. And then he gets dealt from Denver to the Jets, and who's running Denver right now is none other than Elway. So you would think if Elway thought he could win with him, he would have even kept him with Peyton Manning, but he dealt him. And then Sanchez, who's horrible, or has been horrible, Tebow can't even beat him out. So why would you want to bring him to Jacksonville? You know, and from what I've heard the other day when Jacksonville played New York, there wasn't a whole lot of Tebow jersey. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not. So to bring him there and then automatically assume that the jersey sales are just going to go through the roof and, you know, you're going to fill the stadium, I think it's ridiculous. That's what I've heard anyway. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're not even to the off season and we're already getting Tebow talk. That's the kind of, you know, circus we're going to get. And I wanted to avoid that. I think a lot of people want to avoid that. And then if something goes wrong, you know, say if he was here with, you know, Henny and Gabbert, and, you know, then you have all the circus again about if Tebow's going to play, And, you know, to me, if Jacksonville or any other team were going to win with him, they would have went after him. But you could only see that there's only two teams that were interested in him when he was up for grabs. And, you know, allegedly, you know, people, you know, only Conklin's interested in him. You know, that's a whole, you know, ordeal. That's for a different day. But obviously, you know, it's about winning, you know. And it's not, yeah, the sales are nice, but you own the NFL to win, you know, and that's part of the business.
And to kind of echo what you're saying there, James, I mean, look at whose jersey is number one in the National Football League now? RG3. And he's the top-rated quarterback in the league. He's rallied his team back into the hunt for a division title. It's about winning.
Right.
That's what it's about.
I don't think any of us are saying, I mean, would any of us say bring him in and say you're going to be our starting quarterback?
No,
I think it's difficult to bring him in if you don't. That's the issue. I think it's
and that's where it's
through no fault of his own.
And that was my whole point, which is unfair to Tim because Jeff and I had this discussion in the break. I think if you're building a 53-man roster and you put aside all the craziness and all the nonsense that he has nothing to do with, I think he makes your 53-man roster better. I'm not saying as a quarterback,
but through no fault of his own. His presence
might
makes
not be
it
able to,
difficult
might not, be able to, do
not
it.
To bring, and that's too bad for him. but his presence makes it difficult to not bring him in as the guy. And that's the dilemma that is going to face him and any team that brings him in or is considering bringing him in, you know, for the foreseeable future.
And Jeff said it. And if he is dead set on being the quarterback and playing that position, I think he –
good luck in Kansas City.
No, I don't think a team in the NFL is probably going to give him that opportunity.
Kansas City.
He should go
– Alouettes, Rough Riders.
Go to the CFL.
Tiger Cats.
And guess
Tiger
what?
Cats.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's been great NFL quarterbacks
yeah.
who did that to prove they could be that guy, and then they came back and did it at the NFL.
Kurt Warner did it in the Arena League.
He did in the Arena, and he did it in NFL Europe. And what about Jeff Garcia? Wasn't he a CFL guy?
He was.
Yep. Yeah. Warren Moon.
Warren Moon, Doug Flutie. Yeah, I mean, Joe Theismann.
And so, listen, there's no shame in that.
No.
If you really believe you can do that, then go do it.
Show him. Go show him.
I agree.
All right.
And develop a little bit, too.
Time for news here at the bottom of the hour. Joe.
Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. The final half hour of Jaguars This Week for this Wednesday, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, get your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations. Learn how you can win a mega Jaguars fan experience at the next Jaguars game. That's against New England this Sunday. No purchase necessary.
You were still the whole break.
Game. There's a game this weekend. Here's the draft class of Tom Brady, quarterbacks that were picked prior to Tom Brady. We had mentioned that. Chad Pennington, 18th overall pick.
Jets. He had a pretty good career.
Giovanni Carmazzi.
Niners.
Third round, 49ers. Chris Redman, third round, Baltimore. T. Martin, fifth round, Pittsburgh. Mark Bulger, sixth round, New Orleans.
Bulger had a pretty good career.
Spurgeon Wynn, sixth round, Cleveland.
He did not.
And then Tom Brady was the 199th overall pick, sixth round.
Spurgeon Wynn was the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns when they came here late in the 2000 season and got
nothing.
Plastered 48-0.
48-0.
Spurgeon Wynn. Who in the world would look at Spurgeon Wynn and say,
who was the head coach for the Browns at that time?
Chris Palmer.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Chili.
Chili. Chili got chilled. This year, lost
his
job in Tennessee.
Being up in Tennessee, you did not get the feeling anyone was really
missing.
Yeah,
missing their chili.
Never one of my favorite guys.
Phil's up next with a thought on Tom Brady. Hello, Phil. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. A thought on Brady, and then this broader idea of some of these quarterbacks who come out of the woodwork when they get an opportunity. With Brady, I do recall he had an amazing senior season and won an incredible bowl game with a great comeback. I don't remember all the details.
I think he had a really good bowl game. I don't remember.
Real good bowl game, but not a senior season.
No.
He actually split time for a long time.
Drew Henson.
Right, okay, that's it. Maybe it was the bowl game. But there are some amazing things with, I guess when it was what, Trent Green got hurt and then that gave Warner. Those kind of things, it seems like there must be a lot of guys on the benches around the NFL who either do or don't get a chance just kind of based on luck or things that happen.
Well,
and,
I don't know. A lot of guys, I mean.
I wouldn't say a lot.
You mentioned Kurt Warner and then Tom Brady. I mean.
Well, Bledsoe.
Bledsoe was the first pick overall.
Right, but then Brady, that's how Brady got
it. No, I know, but you said a lot. Right. That's two. I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain of all these late round Arena League guys that didn't get a chance and then got lucky.
And even Tom Brady, it's not like, you know, he had a stroke of luck because of, you know, Drew Bledsoe got hit by Mo Lewis going out of bounds.
Kaepernick now.
Kaepernick was the second round pick.
And Bill Belichick knew he had something in Tom Brady. I mean, he didn't leave him in after Drew Bledsoe got healthy.
Right.
You know, because he just saw something all of a sudden when he had to play him.
I mean,
it happens, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah, if your theory is there's a bunch of really, you know, possible Hall of Fame quarterbacks sitting on the bench at certain teams and just not getting a chance, I would disagree with it.
Not Hall of Fame, but I'm saying,
or really good. I would disagree with you because what we always forget, and it was Jeff's point with Tim Tebow, is these coaches, they get fired if they don't win, and so if they think there's a really good player on the bench, and then they're going to give him a chance if they think that guy has the ability to help them win. And a perfect example of that is John Harbaugh. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, a second-round draft pick.
Jim Harbaugh.
I mean,
yeah.
Jim Harbaugh, Colin Kaepernick, second-round pick. Alex Smith, completing 70% of his passes before he gets hurt. The two games before, took his team to the NFC title game, gets hurt. Kaepernick comes in, plays well. Don't think it was just because he played well that one game. Jim Harbaugh had seen a year and a half of him in practice, training camp, preseason, drafted him in the second round because he thought this was a guy that had a huge upside and could help them win games. Jim Harbaugh is making that decision one reason and one reason only, not because he likes Colin Kaepernick better than Alex Smith, because he thinks Colin Kaepernick can win him a Super Bowl. That's it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why decisions are made by coaches.
Yeah, and I have one comment. I hope it's okay. I don't want to get into the whole Tebow thing too much because I know you've already covered it. But Shad Khan, is that true that he advised the Weavers about this from a business point of view?
What?
Ask the question again.
That he had advised the Weavers to draft Tebow from a business point of view.
Shad Khan, I don't think, was in even discussions with the Weavers.
I understand they were very close for many, many years, though. So.
You got insight that we've never heard of.
No, well, I don't. You guys are smarter than me on that.
I don't know if we're smarter than you, but we just haven't heard that.
No, yeah, but actually,
I think Shad said once that, you know, he certainly said he would have drafted him, and I mean they may have discussed it at some point, but he was not advising Wayne Weaver before Wayne sold the team. So,
yeah, the only thing I'd say about, be fair to, if it's okay to the, you know, the guy who was, you know, giving you guys his opinion about the whole thing from a business point of view, is we're sitting here with a team that just hasn't won, and the fact is that how worse off would they have been had they tried this other thing? They couldn't have been any worse off. I mean, that's just the bottom.
In hindsight, you would not have been any better.
That's a ridiculous argument.
No,
you don't make an argument saying they would not be any worse off. That's a terrible argument, because when you make that decision, you're going to say, oh, well, we're really planning on being bad. They made that decision to draft Blaine Gabbert because they thought he was a franchise quarterback that would allow them to get to the playoffs and ultimately play for Super Bowls. I mean, to look back on any decision and say, well, you couldn't be any worse off, that's a ridiculous argument.
No, that wasn't the reason to take him. What I'm saying is the reason is that he not only would you think – some people thought he had upside, certainly when Denver drafted him, they did, and the guy has a winning record as a starting quarterback. Why doesn't somebody give him a full year to start and then call him a failure after that?
They see what they see.
Because some team has to completely commit. I mean, it's easy for fans and even
Timmy
as
won
media
all those
say,
games in Denver last
he was.
Year.
He was the guy. They committed.
Had nothing to do with it.
He was the guy, and they committed, and then they got rid of him.
One of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game.
Yeah, but they didn't know it at the time. They didn't know. They were taking a chance that he would be able to come back and play.
If they thought that he was going to be something, I mean, Phil, don't you think that they would have kept him around to maybe learn from one of the best ever, to where when his neck acts up or he can't play or something physically affects him, that they've got a guy?
Well, here's a perfect example.
You guys are right.
No, but here's a perfect example.
You guys are right.
Denver only was looking because it was Peyton Manning, then if that was the case, then why didn't the Carolina Panthers say, we're going to go after Peyton Manning as well?
Oh, so many teams did. The Niners wanted him.
But the Niners weren't sold on their quarterback. That's why they did it. They weren't sold on your quarterback. But I'm saying if the Denver Broncos felt like Tim Tebow was their future at quarterback and he was the established guy and that's what they were going to build around, they wouldn't have gone after Peyton Manning, no matter how good he was. Because
you're right.
I mean, because the Carolina Panthers did it, and they were 5-11 last year.
Here's the thing
about
Tebow.
Because they believe that Cam Newton is the future.
It's very easy for fans and media who are observing from the outside in to just say, why doesn't somebody give him a chance? But it's something, as we said already today, a team has to completely commit a lot of things, the entire offensive philosophy, the entire franchise, and that's what teams have a tough time doing because – not many people in the NFL believe he's the long-term answer. So that's the rub, and that's the conflict we'll always have with Tebow fans in Tebow and how teams really feel about it.
You know what I don't like about this whole thing, about this whole Tebow conversation?
That if the Jags were 12-2, we wouldn't even be talking about
it. That's a whole different thing that bothers me.
Right, but they're not, so it's a legitimate conversation.
But I don't like it because it forces – I'll just speak for myself. It forces me to say things that I think most football people believe, and you almost feel like you're attacking Tim. I like Tim. I think Tim is a a good football player. I think Tim adds value. I think everything about him, as far as an individual, and I think he is. There's a lot of positives, but these irrational arguments that people make.
The mania has put him in a tough situation.
I find myself, as someone who likes him, you feel like you have to like say it's like it's nauseating. It's too much. I mean.
And we've just contributed 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
45 an hour. Joe, help us.
Kansas City.
When you're looking for department store style discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealer.
All right, about 9 minutes here to go through around the National Football League. Week 16, there's no Thursday night game. They've moved it to Saturday. So Mike Smith takes on the Detroit Lions.
Smitty.
You going with Smitty?
Smitty.
Yeah.
At Detroit.
Smitty, I'm sorry for not going with you last week.
I thought you did go with him.
I think I went with Tom.
No, you went back and forth. Yeah. I went with Tom. You went with Smitty.
Yeah, right. I think you ended up with Smitty.
Okay, good.
Okay. New Orleans at Dallas.
Saints.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with New Orleans because I got a feeling that New Orleans is going to force the quarterback there in Dallas, Mr. Tony Romo, into some mistakes.
Dallas wins that one.
I thought you weren't very high on the Saints defense.
I'm not. I'm not at all. But Tony Romo just has a way about him in December.
Okay. Tennessee's at Green Bay.
Green Bay.
I'll take this next one. Indianapolis at
Kansas City.
Who are you taking? Kansas City?
Indianapolis.
Indy?
Kansas City.
Joe will take Kansas City.
Tony?
Who are we playing?
Indy.
I was reading something.
Are you listening?
Cole, sorry.
Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Someone check his phone at the door. Buffalo's at Miami.
I'm going to take Miami, man. I'm telling you, I was not joking around last week when I think they got some momentum. You know, playing San Fran and New England pretty well, and then beating the Jaguars, they've got a little momentum.
Yeah, he's been better all year than people gave him credit for.
Not Pacelli. He has said it since the first game he did, that they were a good team.
Yeah,
I like Joe Philbin's done a good job.
Dolphins got something going there. I think they'll be a good team in the years to come.
San Diego at the New York Jets.
San Diego.
Chargers.
Really?
The Jets
all the way across the country.
The Jets are so bad. They're sure so bad.
2 weeks in a row, I've gotten to see the Jets, not have a win.
They're so bad.
Yeah, San Diego.
Okay, Washington at Philadelphia, and it appears that RG3 will play.
I don't care if he plays or Kirk Cousins plays; they're going to beat Philly.
I like the Redskins.
Theismann could play anyway.
Well, I don't know about that.
Pretty strong statement, Joe, against your team.
Yeah, I'll take the Redskins.
Philly boy right there.
That's bad. I can't believe.
That's typical Philly.
I can't believe you said that.
I won't take the Cowboys.
Go boo Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go Bengals. I'm doing that game. I'm heading to Pittsburgh. I like the Bengals in that game.
I'll bet the Bengals figure. I mean.
I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
I'll say this. I mean, if you watch the Dallas game, Ben got hit a lot. And the front four for the Bengals is a lot better than the Dallas Cowboys. That offensive line, they just put another one, and who it is escaped my mind. They just put another Steeler offensive lineman on the IR. They are average before that. I think the Bengals just pepper.
Cincinnati should win,
picturing in my mind?
But there's just something about them going to Pittsburgh.
I'm picturing Ben Roethlisberger dropping back under pressure, extends the play, rolls out to his right, and there's Mike Wallace running down the field, and Reggie Nelson is not in position. You know, touchdown, Pittsburgh.
You know, the interesting thing is they really like Reggie Nelson up there.
I know. He's still Reggie.
But the other thing is listen, don't discount the drama between Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger and him coming out and not being happy. The Steelers aren't running the ball. I think the Bengals are a pretty good team.
So you say Steelers, you say Bengals, you say?
I say Pittsburgh, even though Cincinnati. I agree with Tony that Cincinnati ought to win. But something about them going to Pittsburgh this time of year, it's hard to see the Steelers losing it.
St. Louis at Tampa Bay.
St. Louis.
I like St. Louis. Tampa Bay, the wheels are falling off. You see the pushing match between Brian Cox and whoever it was.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm going with Tampa.
Yeah, St. Louis, why? They're building something.
I was hoping to see a throwdown. I mean, Brian Cox, one of the nastiest players ever in the league. I got my money on Brian Cox.
He would have whooped him.
Yeah.
I got Brian Cox, too.
Oakland and Carolina.
Carolina. Oakland's bad.
Minnesota at Houston.
Houston.
Who do you think Jimmy Johnson's picking?
In that game?
Wasn't it you that was telling me Jimmy Johnson's
comments
about...
Yeah, he had some pretty strong comments about the Vikings quarterback. Christian Ponder. They weren't very good.
Well, I'll say this. I'm going to pick the Texans, but I can see Adrian Peterson having about 185 yards
because
they could not stop Vic Ballard. I mean, the Vic Ballard rushed for 105 yards behind an atrocious offensive line, and it wasn't a bunch of trick plays and goofy plays. They ran right at him.
Cleveland at Denver.
Denver.
Yeah, Denver.
Denver.
Yeah, that's not even
– Cleveland, it's going to be a closer game. I mean –
No, it won't.
Yes, it will. It's going to be closer than the 12-point, you know, spread.
37-20.
No. I didn't even know there was a spread.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, all the so-called experts are picking, you know, almost a two-touchdown difference.
Well,
I think Cleveland's defense is pretty dang good.
Denver's sitting there with the number two seed right now with an opportunity for home field.
They're going to win. I just don't think it's going to be a 14-point game.
I think it could be a 20-point game.
Okay.
I'll take Denver.
We'll give it to you. Chicago at Arizona.
You know, I can't believe Arizona won this past week.
I think I picked that game correctly. I think that was the game I picked correctly.
Oh,
they won't win this week. I did.
I got Chicago.
Did you really pick that game?
Yeah, he did. He picked the Cardinals.
Yeah, you did. That's right.
They won't lose after they lose by 58.
Right. Well, I just said at some point.
They won by 28. How about that?
They were on pace to lose 12 in a row. It's tough to lose 12 in a row.
How does a team with Calvin Johnson only score 10 points?
Well, Calvin Johnson and Dominican Sue.
Matt Stafford.
The defensive end. Good
Cliff
player.
Averill.
Cliff Averill here from Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's the most.
Justin Durant.
Expectation-wise, that's the most
the tight
disappointing
end,
team in the league.
The tight end they have in Detroit.
Pettigrew,
excellent player.
And Tony Scheffler.
Yeah. Mike Thomas.
Who?
Justin Durant.
Yeah, great. Okay, Giants at Baltimore. This is a 4 o'clock game on Sunday afternoon.
Giants.
Yeah,
I think the Baltimore Ravens are unraveling. Yes. I don't think they're very good.
And the Giants have to.
The Giants have to
Baltimore
win.
Baltimore doesn't have to in that game.
I think they win by 14.
Yeah, I'm taking Tom. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens.
They're not very good.
You know, and they've got a big decision to make about Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Huge.
And it's gotten tougher as the season's gone on.
And his best wide receiver sustained a concussion in last week's game.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to be questionable, may not play. And if they don't have him, that's a big loss.
Mm. All right. Final game, and it's the best. San Francisco at Seattle. Sunday night.
I got Seattle.
I bet San Francisco.
At home.
I know.
Seattle doesn't lose.
And I'm a Seattle fan at home. But
you know, this is probably one of the most
Justin Smith questionable
intriguing matchups just because of the long-standing feud between Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh. I mean, this truly is
– they don't like each other.
It's genuine. I mean, this is not manufactured. This is real.
I like Seattle.
And I think Tony's right on the money. I mean, with them not having Justin Smith, I mean, you could really tell the performance against the New England Patriots in that game
Alden
Sunday
Smith
night.
Wasn't quite as good without Justin Smith right
no,
now.
No, he was not. He was not.
It's amazing. No sacks.
And, you know, Seattle at home is so good, and Seattle's defense is really good.
And you know who's playing really good? It's Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
really
he's amazing.
Good football.
That may be one of the great finds of the draft. Now, we're going to know in 10 years.
I think he's like 24-9, touchdown, interception, something like that. I mean, something ridiculous. 21-9, something.
I'll tell you what it is in just a second.
I've had a chance to see the Seahawks play.
I did one of their games. I did two of their
21-9.
21-9. I've done two of their games.
His rating is a 95.5.
It's unreal.
How about and he's not.
Third
I mean,
round.
This is not a special offense now. He is a drop back
and
passer.
Yeah, I've stood next to him. He's 5'10", 5'11". He's not a big guy, and the guy's a stud.
He's going to have everybody screaming, "Where's our Russell Wilson?" Not in Jacksonville alone, but all
everywhere.
Over the league, people are saying, "Hey, the Seahawks found him in the third round. Yep. Go find him."
Well, and Seattle does a real good run in the football. I mean, Marshawn Lynch, that may be one of the best acquisitions in trade. They took a big chance. Yeah,
big chance because he had some
issues,
and they rolled the dice and
got him for next to nothing.
Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it, guys. Thanks
so
much.
Show.